Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. You just completed that one out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That was Doc Talk with Gregory Roscoe talking about ear, nose, and throats. He's a specialist in that field. Now we go into Oakland, California, Sports Talk Saturdays, hosted by my good friend and brother and mentor, Bruce Kessinger. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. You can catch his archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Bruce, first of all, how are you this morning? And second of all, how can people get a hold of you?
Okay. Gee, Mark, you make me blush with all that mentor talk. I'm doing fine, thank you. And I can be reached at, starting tomorrow, holyroller 919-788-78@gmail.com and on Facebook. And what's going to be, where are we going to start today, Mark?
Well, I want to start in your backyard with the Oakland A's. They will open the season. They got a 10-game road trip to start the season. 3 in Philly, where the Phillies are looking like murderers row. Then they go 4 in Tampa, where the Tampa Rays are tough to contend with. And then you go with a surging Blue Jays. So 10-game road trip to start the season, minus Olsen, Chapman, and Bassett. They all have headed, out of there, heading east. I don't know what this team is going to look like other than maybe a Triple-A team. You can dodge bullets, and the A's have done that for quite a few years. But, man, this is a tough one. And if you want to throw in Bob Melvin, who went south down into San Diego, I don't know how you're going to turn this thing around. It kind of reminds me of the Pirates when we lost Bonilla one year, and we treaded water. We still won the division and held off the Mets. And the second year, we lost Drabeck and Bonds, and that was the beginning of the end for about 15, 16 years. So any thought to what your A's are going through with the road trip, with the departures, and the departure of a manager?
I like that you said my A's. I'm more of a Giants fan, but, of course, following the A's, this is just atypical of what they do. And believe me, if there wasn't a lockout and more time, you'd probably see Montas, Manaea, and other guys traded. This is the way it works. You get it when there's about to be big money thrown at these up-and-coming stars, they're traded. It's been the A's mantra for quite some time. Do I say Triple-A? Not necessarily yet, especially because you do still have Montas and Manaea. They have not been traded. We're going to see what happens as the season goes. Expect those people to go. They still had a hiccup in trying to get this new stadium. And I, for one, don't think that they should get it anyway. What makes anybody think that this guy, John Fisher, who is the owner you never see, is going to even try to throw money at the team himself, no matter where they play? He's not a baseball guy. They've done everything possible to even insult the fan base here. I don't like the direction the A's are going. And as far as I'm concerned, if I'm the city of Oakland, I tell them to get lost. And they've been doing that to the fans. They're saying, get lost. We don't care about you. I see last place for this team. And I see that the other players who are, especially the pitchers, are going to go somewhere. And they're not going to last here long. This is going to be a very much younger-oriented, maybe, as you say, a minor league-type team. That's where I'm going with them.
Well, I will tell you this, and I know a lot of people don't like to make prognostications on who's going to win a division and everything, but I'm going to lay it out right now. I'm going to tell you, this division's going through Seattle. They picked up Robbie Ray. They picked up Bats and Juarez and Winkler from Cincinnati. I think they have what it takes to win the division. They were an upstart last year. I think everybody else in the division, as far as somebody maybe kind of, hanging around in that division. I'd have to say the Angels because I like Madden. But when I look at Houston losing Correa, Greinke, some of these guys, I don't see Houston doing anything. Great manager in Baker. I don't see the Rangers doing anything, even though they signed Corey Seager, and I don't see your A's doing anything. You might be right. The A's might be pulling up the back end of this division. That's a lot to overlook, considering that, you know, you can lose one or two guys. You've lost three potential all-stars there, and then you've lost a manager that was an all-star. So that's a lot to overcome. So I don't think things are coming up. Yeah,
I will say this, and the hiring of Mark Kotze is a good hire. He's a good baseball man, and he's served a good amount of time under Melvin. I think a lot of the Melvin will rub off on him, but I still don't think that he can overcome what has been done to the team. I don't see – he should not be fired. He should be given a chance, and they can see if they can build this thing within 2 or 3 years. We'll see, but he's gonna have a rough rookie year as a manager.
Well, and the other thing is too, when you look at the other side of this coin, and you know, talking about, you know, the Giants, that, you know, I don't put much stock in these guys either. I think they snuck up on a lot of teams last year. You know, what they accomplished was great and everything. But I think now when you look at this division, I think it's going to be San Diego's to contend with, because I think San Diego now with Clevinger back, Snell with another league in the Nationals, you know, you've got, you know, Lamet there, you've got, you know, pitching, and pitching's premium. You picked up Luke Voit. You figure out what you're going to do with Eric Hosmer. Three-quarters of that infield is the best in baseball. I like San Diego, and now blowing out that clown that didn't even know how to run the team in Jace Tingler. They get a proven manager in Bob Melvin. Keep your eyes on the Padres. And you know what? I think it's the Dodgers and Giants going to battle it out, and the other two teams are going to try to figure everything out in Colorado and Arizona. How do you see this? And then we'll get into the Giants' schedule to start the season.
Okay. I kind of agree with you with San Diego, although you've already got Tatis out again for 3 months. Melvin's a very steadying hand. He knows how to handle that situation. I would say I'm looking at the Dodgers as well, but you never know with them. There's just something that doesn't click with them. There's something, whatever it is. And the Giants, this is where the DH rule came in that bothered me, because Kapler was such a master of using his pinch hitters. Everybody got a shot in the game, et cetera, et cetera. And now when you're going with the DH, it's taken a lot of how shall we say, the maneuvering out of Kapler's game. But, you know, they're still solid. I see them battling with the Dodgers just because they have that something that says, I want to go over there. Jock Peterson just signed with him. People like the organization. People want to play for the organization. I thought the Rockies, I mean, Chris Bryant, 7 years at his age. That's one of those things where he's going to get a few home runs. He's in Colorado. Colorado has a real problem in just trying to overcome its location. Nobody really wants to pitch there. You're not going to get always a fourth place or something. They've gotten their two titles, and I'm always amazed when they get those titles. I think Bud Black's a fine manager. They do have good young players, but no. It's not happening in Colorado.
Giants, you're losing Posey, who's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. You lose Bryant. You pick up Peterson. And you talk about the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, it seems like whoever beats them, they go after and try to raid their best player. We saw it after losing to the Red Sox. They pick up a Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Betts.
After beating, you know, the Nationals take him out. Here comes Scherzer. And now the Braves beat him, and here comes Freddie Freeman. But the key to the Dodgers is, man, what people aren't looking at here is they lost their closer. Jansen's moved on to Atlanta. Curry Knebel's gone to Philly. Joe Kelly's gone to the White Sox. Who's going to close for this team? There's question marks with Dustin May. from that Tommy John surgery last year. What do you do with Tony Gosselin? We don't know where he's going. Clayton Kershaw is a broken down horse. So when you really look at it, is you got Walker Buehler, and then you got Julio Urias, who can he win 20 games again, or was he sneaking up on people? So I think the real problem with the Dodgers is, yeah, you got bats, you can turn guys around, you can put Freddie Freeman there, you can put somebody in the DH role, potent offense. But you know what? When I look at the Dodgers, I look at the Oakland A's way back in 88 when they had Canseco and all those guys, and Oral Hershiser shut them down in the World Series. So now that the shoe's on the other foot, the Dodgers got bats, but they don't have the pitching to contend, and pitching is 90% of the game. And that's, you know, if somebody tells me pitching is not 90% of the game, then they just don't know baseball.
Indeed.
Will stop good hitting.
Yeah. That's a given. That's a given.
Yeah, and you're talking about your Giants, you get a breather, you get the Marlins coming in for three to open up the season, and then the Padres waltz in there, and then you'll take it to Cleveland and New York. You know, this is going to be interesting to see what the Giants do to start the season, but I just think it's going to be them and the Dodgers battling it. I think San Diego is loaded for bear. You brought up, you know, Fernando Tatis gone for 3 months. I understand that. But they got so many weapons in that offense that they can sustain it.
Yeah, and like I say, and like you said, this is a manager, probably the best manager. Well, I'm not going to say the best manager in that division, considering Kapler did win it all last year. It will be interesting, and you know, Melvin is a player's manager. People, they will get along with him. So I tend to think we'll see what happens. It's really about how they do with Tatis out and. You know, with the DH actually kind of favors the Dodgers in this case. With the Freeman deal, you can now DH Muncy. It's going to be – those are the three teams. The other two teams are just immaterial at this point.
Lost Corey Seager. You can put in Trey Turner there. I just think the depth is going down. The Dodgers the last few years, losing guys like Kiki Hernandez, Jock Peterson – you know, guys that ate up innings and Maeda and Ryu. And now you start losing guys that were instrumental in your bullpen with Kelly, Knable, Jansen, who bounced back.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers, you know, a big signing with Chris Taylor, I'll give you that. But this is a team now that just doesn't have the depth. And if they get a significant injury here or there, that's going to really drop them. I'm not saying they're going to the depths of Arizona and Colorado, but, you know, I think head-on the Padres know what's at stake here. You know, and when we swing this thing around, let's talk about some of the free agents, you know, and then we'll get into the NFL. But the free agents of the, you know, baseball, Correa went to the Twins, which was a shock. I thought he'd go to the Angels or maybe the Yankees. You know, Castellanos went to the Phillies. The Phillies, man, I'll tell you, you know, him and Schwarber, they went out and they got some bats to compensate Bryce Harper. I like that, you know, kick up and stuff. You know, you alluded to Freddie Freeman coming to the Dodgers. Was there any surprise in this thing? And I think my biggest surprise is, what the hell are the Angels doing? They're just standing pat with Trout and trying to win a title with Trout. I just don't understand what the Angels are doing. Maybe you can help me on that one, or maybe there's a surprise out there.
I think I'm going to go with the maybe there's a surprise out there. I think the Dodgers had no choice in the Freeman situation, and really that was probably up in the air until Atlanta made that trade for Olsen. I think that there was a chance that Freeman would have gone back to the Braves. I don't know about for 6 years, but that was nixed with the Olsen deal. So, yeah, the Dodgers a logical stop for Freddie Freeman. I think he's solid, and he's a good pro. the Angels. yeah, I'm puzzled about it. Trout's hurt. I mean, it gets hurt. I hope that doesn't stay the case because he's such a wonderful player when he's out there. But I don't see them having much to offer right now at all. You do have a weakened Houston team. You had a bunch of minor signings out there where you had Corey Dickerson to the Cardinals, you know, but it's such a solid organization. Who knows? They might get, you know, they get a lot out of people. And I agree with you with the Rangers too. Big signings, lots of money. But that's happened before with the Rangers, and for some reason they never do anything. So I'm looking at the Angels as there's got to be some kind of surprise. Otherwise, you're going to have a sort of a dwindling fan base. I see, because it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, and you might even, at some point, if it doesn't happen, then they're going to have to consider the old rebuild situation, then Trout goes on the block.
Yep.
I don't know.
You talked about the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are the team to beat in the Central. I think the Reds have just had a fire sale. This gives my Pirates a chance to do, I'm not saying take the division, but, you know, maybe climb as far as second place. Let's face it. I mean, the Brewers are going to be tough, but, you know, how much do they got the hold up here? I just look at the Cubs, and they're in a transition, so maybe the Pirates can do some damage, you know, with the added team to bring
in.
I think yeah, the American League Central, I think, you know, that's going to be an interesting one. Minnesota's loaded for bear. We'll find out, you know, what the Cleveland's going to do other than change their name to the Guardians. The White Sox are going to be tough. And you know what? When you look at the American League East, I think it might be the first time in quite a long time that the Yankees are going to be battling the Orioles for the cellar with the Blue Jays.
Ooh.
Blue Jays winning this
division.
Blue
Jays are up and coming. The Blue Jays are definitely up and coming. And I think, Chapman went to the Blue Jays, if I'm correct.
Right. So, what's your predictions on some of these divisions that you're in mind?
When you mention the Yankees, it's like, God, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they're mediocre. They're not. And I don't know whether you want to throw anybody into the same category with the Orioles. That's pretty brutal, Mark.
Right.
They're. I don't see them going anywhere. I like what's going on the top there. Toronto, yeah, I could see this. That's a fairly loaded team. And you know, you've got the Red Sox are always in it, and Tampa's always in it. They seem to manage to do whatever it takes to get up there. That should be an exciting race. I think that's a three-teamer, and we'll see what we'll see what goes. I'm starting to warm a little to baseball. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Let's switch over to football, and I'm still trying to figure this thing out. I'm not against people making big money, but how the hell is Deshaun Watson maneuvering a trade to Cleveland with 23 women hanging over his head in a civil lawsuit or a criminal lawsuit, and he gets $230 million, and it's guaranteed? Are the Browns crazy or what? What the hell is going on in Cleveland?
Okay, you gave up a lot of draft picks for that too. I guess, you know, when the civil suit, if he's, you know, got an iron mind, so to speak, and he can ignore that, then, you know, he's got some talent he hasn't played in a year. You unloaded Jarvis Landry. You got Amari Cooper back there, who I think is somewhat of an underachiever in my humble opinion. I wasn't quite done with Baker Mayfield just yet. I would have given him one more year, but that's over with. Certainly you've got Chubb, you've got a lot going on there, but there's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And another thing too is I don't look at Deshaun Watson as a cold weather quarterback, and that's something that Cleveland has in spades. Deshaun Watson's played Clemson, Houston. He hasn't had to deal with that. This is going to be something different for him. We'll see. I think it's a gamble that's probably not going to work. And where do you think Baker Mayfield goes? I think he might end up in Seattle.
That's going to be an interesting one. Do you drop him down in New Orleans? I mean, this is going to get interesting.
Yeah, Carolina's going to be stuck with whatever they've got. I think unless it's Garoppolo, and Garoppolo does not want to go to Carolina, and the Niners won't do that to him. We're still thinking Pittsburgh or Indianapolis on that. But now Baker Mayfield's available, so you've got a starting quarterback for a lot of these teams that don't have anything, And I do understand that Houston's loading up. That's a rebuild. The draft pick situation, all these teams are in rebuild situations that are going on. And the Devontae Adams trade, what a shocker. Well, you have his old buddy Aaron Rodgers there. There was his go-to guy, and then he's being traded back to his old go-to.
Well, here's the problem Bruce. The problem there is Aaron Rodgers is selfish. You know, I look at Tom Brady, and Tom Brady will take pay cuts to bring his buddies in to make something work and get a Super Bowl. I think Aaron Rodgers is a selfish guy. He stood there. He got $200 million from the Green Bay Packers, and he kind of had to figure he was taking all the money, and if you care about guys on the team, why do you take a pay cut to keep your star receiver in there? You don't even have a star receiver now. So, in turn now, they ship him to the Raiders, and the AFC West has now become the SEC. I mean, this is going to be a complete dogfight now. You got the Raiders in there. Denver, if they can get some targets for Russell Wilson, the Chargers are going to be good on both sides of the ball. The Chiefs better start looking at themselves. But I'll tell you, the team that really is going to benefit from all this, because they can just waltz through their division, and they got the talent to take it right to the Super Bowl, is the Buffalo Bills, picking up Von Miller now. And Dak Prescott, expressed frustration over that. They'd get him in Dallas. And the other thing, the only thing that really didn't go the Bills' way is J.D. McKinnis, the running back from the Washington Redskins, agreed to terms, and then he backed out, and the Skins signed him. So that was the only thing that, ruffled the Bills' feathers. But I'll tell you one thing. I like the Bills because all those other teams are going to beat the hell out of each other in the AFC West. And to answer your question on Baker Mayfield, screw job they gave him in Cleveland. Good quarterback. I like his swagger. I haven't seen this in a quarterback since Brian Sipe in that town. Maybe Vinny Testaverde. But to go out and get this guy in Deshaun Watson is absolutely crazy. The Browns are thinking they're going to turn guys around like they turned Odell Beckham around. That didn't work either. So I don't know what you think on those topics, the Bills, the AFC West, and any final thoughts on the Browns.
You basically said the same thing that I did about the Browns. So we won't go there. The Bills, I do think are the favorite. The AFC West. The quarterback wise, the Raiders have the worst one. I'm looking in there, and Denver does. Their names aren't big, but I don't think Cortland Sutton's a reasonably good receiver. And I'm wondering here what they have. Obviously, they think that the tight end that they have is really, really good. Otherwise, you don't trade Noah Fant. It's going to be interesting. And the question is Russell Wilson too old? They don't have big names, but I think they have solid names, and they're solid on D. It's going to be it's quarterback wise. I still think that the Raiders are last in that division. The Chiefs, I believe, lost a starting defensive back to the Niners, Tarvarius Ward. There's going to be – their defense is the Chiefs, again, are going to have to be playing and outscore their opponents is what's going to go on. So going to be a hell of a division to watch. It is, and they're going to beat up each other. I'm looking forward to – I'm looking forward to football season right now more than I am baseball season. Any other thoughts from you?
Well, you're right, and I look at the Cowboys. They lost Randy Gregory to the Broncos at the start of the week, and then they agreed on a 1-year deal with Dante Fowler Jr. So this is really interesting. I think the Rams have lost some guys too here. Nobody's talking about the Rams, but I think the Rams are going to be hard pressed to repeat. You can talk about running it back all you want, but I think that when you look at football, I think the NFC is completely wide open, completely. I think the Redskins and Cowboys will kind of battle it out over there. The Eagles and Giants are trying to figure out things. I think Green Bay's the only team in that other division, unless Minnesota can do something. The AFC South now has become Tampa's now that Brady's coming back. And when you look at the West, I think it's, you know, what kind of team are the 49ers going to have? And you got the Rams, the defending champs. So I think when you look at this, the NFC can look like the Pac-12 while the AFC is going to be the SEC.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that. I think that, like you said, I think the Baker Mayfield, probably the best fit for him would be the Saints. But I'll tell you straight up, I think the Saints made a huge mistake in having Dennis Allen become the coach. He was so bad with the Raiders, it wasn't even funny. What are they going to do? I mean, the Carolina's going to be downright awful. They're offering Christian McCaffrey, and no one's taken, you know?
The problem is he's a great running back. He's just injury prone, and you can't take a chance on that. And you know,
he throws himself wholeheartedly into it, like his body and everything, like his dad did. You're gonna get hurt.
Mitch Trubisky in Pittsburgh kind of reminds me of Bobby Brister, Neil O'Donnell, or Mark Malone. I'm not sold on this guy either.
I would love
to see him get Jimmy G.
Yeah. Have they actually just anointed him the starter? I thought maybe they were just going to trade him and maybe even get Jimmy G and maybe waive Mason Rudolph. But if you decided to go with Trubisky as your starter, he ain't going to win. Period.
No, he won't. We saw him when Chicago gave a boatload up to get him. Didn't do nothing. Maybe it was the pressure there or the not a winning tradition since 85, but Pittsburgh, they'll eat him up if he starts throwing interceptions. And I just don't look at this guy. You know, I look at two quarterbacks growing up with my Steelers, and it's Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. And after that, it's been, you know, or in the middle of that, it's been just nothing short of a plan C or plan B guy. So I'm not sold on that one. I will tell you this, as we start to wind this thing down, with about 2 minutes and some change, are you getting ready for the USFL next month?
No. In fact, my mind is right now, if you wanted to talk a little basketball, with the Curry injury, you're going to find out right now whether Jordan Poole is next year's $20 million a year player. This is now, of course, it's Draymond's team, but I think now Poole is going to be the guy who's going to be gunning the threes and playing the point. And from what I've seen so far, he's good. I like his attitude. This is going to be interesting because they will be in the playoffs. There's no question. And they could get Steph back for the playoffs. The Pool as a fill-in is not a bad thing. I'll miss Steph, but I think this is going to be very, very interesting with Jordan Poole because he's a real up-and-comer.
Okay, in 30 seconds, fill us in on the Curry injury. I saw it happen. Didn't know how long he was going to be out, but you got the insight on that.
Okay, so it's ligament sprain. They said that it could be 2 to 4 weeks. Because it's a sprain, I'm going to be Mr. Optimist here and say, yeah, okay, 2 weeks. But I'm not a doctor. I think it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks. We fortunately have 3 days off right now. If he comes back for the playoffs, the Warriors are still going to be in a good position. And like I say, you do have Draymond back on defense, which is very helpful. And Jordan Poole is fast. Nobody's going to become the next Steph Curry, but Jordan Poole is fast becoming a nice fit for the Warriors behind Steph Curry. And he would be starting for most any other team at this point. Well, he's back doing it again. I'm kind of looking forward to it, to be honest. I want to see what he can do.
Okay, as we wrap up this show, my friend, how can people get a hold of you?
Sorry, what was that?
How can people get a hold of you as we wrap this thing up and rekindle it next week?
Let's wrap it up. Sorry there. I am at holyroller91978@gmail.com. And Facebook.
Okay, for Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to the Sports Talk Saturdays podcast. You can catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms powered by Mancini Media. Stay tuned at the top of the hour when James Donaldson opens it up from Seattle, Washington, with the Standing Above the Crowd podcast. That should be a great one, as he's got the former KGR and author, sports talk guy, Mad Dog Gastineau on. So check that out at the top of the hour. Till then, have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.